BRS meeting, Monday, January 9th, 2017.
It's locked, but I'll go get you one. You can just start the meeting.
Hello, everyone. We're going to have a special meeting for today. So now it's 4:07. So we're starting today by the real subcommittee. Go around and everybody introduce yourself. So I'll start with myself. I'm Pam Berger. I'm vice chair, first vice chair, and Brian Miller will be coming to join us later. So I guess we'll go with my wife, Charlie.
Hi, I'm Charlie Crocker from Silver Spring, Maryland. Also representing the Access for All from the Council of Governments.
You can eat.
Denise Rush, Suitland, Maryland, Vice Chair, AHC, Vice Chair, Metro Access Subcommittee.
Larry. Good afternoon. Larry Hale, Silver Spring, Maryland.
Mary Kay McMahon, Washington, D.C.
Christopher Colbert, Metro Office of Eligibility.
Randy Pope, from Silver Spring, Maryland, rep from Deathline.
Okay, so we're going to have our review and approval of the agenda and then the meeting minutes from last month. So, have anybody reviewed today's agenda?
Yes.
So, had it approved or? Yes. Okay.
I'm going to approve the agenda.
Me too.
Libby?
I want to make sure we get to talk about the change in the rate. The hearings are coming up, and we haven't talked about it at all. But, you know, the bus is going to increase, the rail is going to increase, and that increases Metro Access.
I think we could do that. 5:55, we knew that. All right. Are you still back? I have a new bit. Someone mind up. So would that be me? Okay. Any other
additions,
anything to the agenda before we go ahead and move? Okay, so all approved?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Object,
particularly when the non-peak
period, then there aren't a lot of people on the platform. The operators are simply closing the doors when the people enter the train, and that's oftentimes before anybody can hear where the train's going or what line it is. So the rail supervisors have been instructed to begin monitoring these announcements and correcting operators who are not allowing the full announcement to play, which is the policy. The other issue that came up like a couple weeks ago was the perceived lack of elevator announcements on 7000 series cars. And the question arose whether there had been a decision to stop doing those given the automatic announcements. And the answer is that no, there has been no such decision made, and that the operators are supposed to be making those elevator outage announcements even on the 7000 series trains. And that, again, the rail supervisors have been told to monitor the operators' performance of this function. Third thing I looked into was something that had come to me from a deaf customer a couple months ago who was on a train when it went out of service, and the operator had not been flashing lights to indicate to the customer that the train was out of service and that she should exit. Therefore, she was trapped in the train and ended up down at the rail yard with the train. It's been verified to me that there's been no change in that procedure either, that the operators are still supposed to be flashing the lights to alert customers who are deaf or hard of hearing that the train is going out of service if they can't hear the announcement. As well, the operators are supposed to walk through the train and make sure there's no one in there before they close it up and take off. So those are the three issues that I was looking into regarding the announcement. Any questions about those?
David, two questions. Trying to think of how to word this. Do you think that there could be a potential bias with having like Metro staff monitor for a situation that they might not be as familiar with? I guess what I'm trying to get at is I think there's a difference sometimes between a member of staff monitoring versus a non-biased objective party kind of doing the monitoring. I'm totally in support of ensuring that it's monitored to see if it happens. Me being the sort of data person, I think by being able to say at a station X amount of trains came in within an hour, the announcements were done X amount of time, and being able to track that through a time given time period, it gives you an ability to kind of measure whether there's been improvement or lack of improvement. So I guess my question, is there any thought to really having an external source other than Metro staff monitoring for that type of issue? The second thing is focusing on announcements in general, in that when you think about the critical information that you should announce, next stop, door opening, elevator announcements, they're not doing the elevator announcements. They're also not doing door opening announcements, and that's despite having the information visually. So,
you mean which side or? Or just
yes.
At the door to
so in the 7000 series rail cars, they will actually say visually that the doors are opening on a given side. What you hear verbally is this is four time with no door opening announcement. Mm-hmm.
You're correct that it's been changed in the automated announcements from the previous policy on 1000 to 6000 trains.
So are we at the point where we're not doing door opening announcements, or should we be doing door opening announcements? And if that's the case, then is there a planned process fix that issue short term until we have a long term fix with how to modify the
I'll have to look into that further to where they stand on that point. But I will report back to you next month on that.
Okay.
As far as the first point, I think Chris, you want to address that. I don't think we've ever had mystery writers on the rail stations. We've done it on bus.
Well, technically, we do have a mystery writer program underway now. I mean, I wrote that note down. The mystery writer program is for the shuttle bus service, and it's two parts. One part requesting the shuttle bus before you arrive at the station, so technically you never have to go inside or attempt to go inside the station with elevators out. And the other is once you're inside, requesting elevator shuttle service. That has been proven, that has just further proven that we've made a great transition into that service. So, barring any rules or prohibitions of slightly changing the scope of the work that was allocated funding for, which was shuttle bus service versus elevator outage announcements, which I think are very similar, I wouldn't see why you couldn't, you know, use a little bit or a lot of that resource to do the sort of mystery writer check Larry is suggesting. But given the rules of procurement and given our very careful ways because of what we've gone through as an agency, I don't want to sit here and promise that I will do it. But as David is following up on this work, I will check with our procurement staff and see how much latitude and flexibility I have with that particular contract, but also to check with the contractor to see her ability to shift some, if not all, of those resources and attract customers who can do that particular brand of mystery
riders. Can I just sit a quick side note? It's on the same thing, but is it I'm wondering whether indicating the importance of why that should be done, i.e. it's the law, and failure to comply with it could be, infracting on that law is roughly, does this have any way to this?
We usually put out everything. I mean, every time we want to make a change, we have what we think is a very important reason to do so. But that's just not how procurement rules work. If money is allocated for a particular task, there are steps that you must take to get the approval of procurement officers to change the task. But again, this one, so similar. I mean, we're talking about elevator shuttles versus elevator announcements, but it's both dealing with outage elevators that are out of service and impacting a particular group of customers. Again, on the surface, it sounds very logical and easy, but I don't want to make that promise because I have learned the hard way of how difficult it is to change a procurement contract. So the promise I would make is we will definitely look at it, and if we can't do it with these funds, we probably can move forward rather quickly in finding some additional funds to do this type of work.
And also, I would add, Larry, when you guys hear that when you're traveling, if it's possible to go down and use the card number, or that you can't see the card number, know the time and station you're in, send it to me. I'm starting to follow up on this. Personally, I'm noting every time I hear it and sending it into rail. So if you guys help me, then we'll just have people more observations floating in for this too.
Thank you. Father, can you push it?
Thank you. Sit back here so I don't get too loud. I noticed that you said, if I recall correctly, that in a situation where the destination of the train is being announced and then the doors close in advance of that, thereby person's not going to that place, we have to be happy. I had a situation the other day where I was at a group meeting and three people mentioned that very same problem. And so I said, like a gallant and a member of this of us committee, and I would check into it. And thank you for telling me that. But, I mean, my question really is, if a person is advised that they need to make an announcement as to where the train is going before closing the doors, and then they're properly advised, the next time that happens, if it happens, what happens to the driver?
Well, now you're getting into union discipline issues, but I mean, hopefully there is follow-up and, you know, counseling and progressive discipline. But you know, it's hard to figure out whether it's the same person or not unless I have enough data to start collecting, you know, enough training, enough failures to do it. The same person keeps popping up over and over again.
So there is a progressive discipline policy then?
Yes, that, and that's the union rules, yeah. Progressive discipline.
Thank you.
In the normal question of the topic, I'm going to talk about the receptive humor issue. That's all right. Would it be more if anyone else had any questions before I move on to the receptive humor? Okay, so for the abutter.
Emergency announcements are great for people with
who are blind or low vision, but it doesn't do anything for a person who's deaf or hard of hearing, so you don't know that an emergency is happening. So the idea of flashing the lights on the station, on the new pitch that we have, flashing it to get attention. Well, that hasn't started yet, but we did say that also needs to be done for emergencies on the rail cars as well. And so that's how, at least reports that this is occurring, that's how it started from my edification. That's when I knew it first started, when we began sending the recommendation from the AAC about the flashing to help customers who are deaf or hard of hearing.
I don't know where you're speaking. Is it on this one? I don't know if we're on any particular topic, but I'm noticing a disturbing trend in some of the metro stations, and I just went out of the room. Just y'all want to hear my
point. There's a lot of trends going on.
Yes.
Because the microphones are not as clear, I need everyone to use their outside voice. Even you, Madam Chair, we need you to speak a little louder to ensure everyone hears you. Thank you.
Okay, this is Philippa Mazzell. Hello, everyone, and happy new year. But I was saying I'm noticing a disturbing trend, and I will point out specifically at Boggy Bottom and Eastern Market stations that I've noticed, where there used to be the stops for the train were listed on a pillar right there at eye level in the, on the platform. Now I walk the entire platform at Boggy Bottom, and I didn't find it. And then all of a sudden I noticed where there's an advertisement, and up above it, there were the stops listed. Well, that's fine if you're 6'9" or you have person vision, but it doesn't work for me, and I'm sure it doesn't work for a lot of people with low vision. And that was one of the things I really thought was great about Metro, that I could walk into a train station and see where all the stops were, because I don't know every line by heart, and of course, they don't always announce it. So, I wanted to comment.
Okay, so just to reiterate, station ahead list are missing at the, what is that station?
Well,
Boggy Bottom.
At Boggy Bottom and at Eastern Market.
In Eastern Market. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think they listed a thermal train.
Right,
too.
Thank you.
In fact, if I don't know the direction, I don't know why I'm lost, because I don't know where Carrollton is. I don't know where I'm lost.
I understand.
We'll also be discussing signage today in our meeting, so you'll be able to answer those questions or comment with that person on signage.
I just want to get it in while Mr. Ombuds comes here.
Thank you.
Does Pete?
Hi, Steve Tappan. With respect to announcements, we've been dealing with this both with rail and bus, and with rail, there's an announcement that was instituted, actually I think it was in 2004, when the voice of the Metro changed. And it's that 6 or 7 second announcement that comes immediately after the statement doors open. And initially I think it served its purpose by moving people more quickly into the cars. But at this point, I don't think anybody is listening. And as it relates to tourists, I think tourists are so focused on just getting into the cars, it may not be serving a purpose. Why this is important to reconsider at this point in time in particular is that, especially during the safe track time and during the time when operators are perhaps required to be more live and involved. To have the operator either talk over this announcement or wait 6 or 7 seconds before coming in is often a distraction. Plus, I found with the 7000 series cars, the boarding actually moves more quickly, and oftentimes these announcements are truncated. So you right in the middle of it, it'll cut off and say doors closing. It's not for us to make management recommendations, but I would suggest consideration on whether that announcement has already served its purpose and might at least be truncated a bit to provide more flexibility for the live operator.
Thank you.
Mike?
I actually just want to add to that. I think that kind of mirrored one of the things that I've always thought. This kind of white noise announcement sometimes, and those are announcements that are made that are so often that people just get to the point where they don't pay attention. In a system where you almost have an announcement every maybe 10 or 20 seconds. Having something reminding customers to step back to allow customers to exit when boarding, please move to the center of the car is probably not as useful as this is the red line train, the Shady Grove. I guess what I'm trying to say is, what are the critical announcements that you need when that door opens? And I would suggest that knowing your line code and destination are the most critical parts of that whole sort of maybe 1 minute announcement. So I guess I kind of agree. If that announcement has served its purpose, get rid of it and move the critical information up. This is a red line train to Shady Grove. If you want to remind people to move, step back to allow customers to exit, maybe do it after that announcement. Or get rid of it altogether and let the operator make that announcement after the destination announcement has occurred.
Steve?
Larry, thank you very much. There might be a compromise here where the operators are given a measure of flexibility so that during periods, let's say, either of heavy tourism or during periods when of crush at the stations, the operator has the flexibility to turn that on. But in other periods, it remains off because it's just not needed in a half, filled car.
Or the suggestion that I can't guarantee any of the changes right now. So let's forward the suggestion to see what the management says.
Yeah, it's recommended on the management.
Charlie?
I kind of like what you guys are saying in terms of the announcements, although I do want to stress that there is a value to consistency and predictability and repetition, even though it may be considered white noise by some. For anybody who may need it, it's not white noise anymore. So, and the responsibility of the system is to serve everybody's needs, not just those of people who have been riding the system for however many years. So that's only my only comment. It's a value judgment that I think needs to be made, but I want to make sure that it is truly thought through. Thank you.
We agree that I'm sure that's what management, that's why my hesitation. There won't be any rush to judgment on the announcements. There are discussions, as we've raised it now, both David and myself, about the elevator announcements being made by the station, by the train operators. But in terms of what has been decided to be automated as announcements on the 7000 series cars, I can tell you that a lot of thought went into it, so we hear you, and so we'll forward through your recommendations. But yeah, a lot of thought and a lot of planning of what customers really need in these announcements. And if the train operator isn't going to be making announcements, I think they want it to be as comprehensive as possible in deciding what is being announced. So we're just going to have to look at it and see. Perhaps bring the stakeholders here and also hear from you all directly as well. Are there any further questions for the operator?
I had I had an incident on Thursday, which we don't have the time to deal with, but it was on a bus, and where I think the driver mishandled the situation and did a number of things which were contrary to policy, perhaps policy and procedure, and also resulted in my looking at a particular form that seems to be to need some updating and to relook. You know, with respect to procedure, training, and the form, would it be appropriate for me to just hand this to somebody so they can take a look at it?
Yes, we'll take it, but yeah. Do you want to, sure, ladies and say, but it's not like we're in a rush tonight. I mean, do you want to just give us a brief overview so the colleagues will know just?
Yeah, you know, I'm a bad offender at going at talking too much, and I want to try to truncate myself. That's one of my New Year's resolutions. Let me try in 1 minute or less. The bus I was waiting for, the 42 bus, stopped a third of the way before the block on 14th and I. And when I walked towards the bus, that was stopped really at an incorrect stop at the 43 stop. The bus pulled out. He opened the door for me at the light without pulling up to the stop adjacent to where he should have been, and berated and started screaming at me for not walking fast enough to get to the bus, even though he was misparked. In any case, what transpired was I had dropped my Metro card at the fare box, I guess because I was a little flustered. He noticed it and pointed it to me and motioned me to come over. And as I came over, he sped up the bus and then put on the brakes. And I fell flying. I'm still a little bruised, you know, but. I'm fine, you know, I'm fine, it's, you know, everything fine. However, the whole incident, what's really, I'd say, very positive about this whole incident is it brought up a number of issues, and in particular issues with respect to procedure and training or retraining, and also contacting, you know, transit police, because that's the first thing I asked for. And when, after 20 minutes, the driver had left the bus, he took a walk, leaving me in an open, cold bus, which I don't think is proper procedure. In other words, it could be training. It could, I just don't know. But in any event, I went looking for an emergency transit sign in the bus to call, because I was feeling a little weak and just sitting there. I looked around. I could not find a phone number posted that said either emergency police, who to call, that kind of thing. Finally, 25 minutes later, over the loudspeaker, you know, you have periodic announcements. Even though the bus was turned off, these announcements continue to go. I don't know what they did. The police phone number, the transit police phone number, came through in Spanish. I speak Spanish, so I quickly jotted it down, called the number. I was told the first time I called, they said, "Don't worry, sir, I'm sure we're taking care of it." So I called back 5 minutes later. In any case, the location of the bus had been miscalled in. So the policeman arrived. The transit policeman first asked me, very appropriately, he said, "Do we need to get you to a hospital?" Excellent. First question, perfect question. And I said, "No, I'm just shaking up, but I'm just only sitting here." He says to me, "Well, I shouldn't be here if you don't need hospitalization. I'm the transit police. Who you need to talk to is a supervisor." And I was surprised. But maybe that is the policy. But if it's the policy, that announcement in the bus needs to change, because the announcement says, if there's a problem, call transit police. I was handed a form to fill out, but this form says witness or employee statement form. It's not for this particular incident. This form has no control number on it, so for all I know, for all an incidentee knows, it would never have been filed.
So these are,
I don't want to make this about me. I don't want to make this about me. This is not about me. But I do. But it raises some questions with respect to procedure and training. And maybe since this form is several years old, maybe.
So my question though is, because we've always said in circumstances, so you call the police, but you said the police told you that if it wasn't an emergency or you weren't injured, you need to contact the supervisor.
Now the supervisor came.
Right.
The supervisor came within 5 minutes, and.
So did you fill out a report with the supervisor?
And, well, yeah. The supervisor said you need to complete this report.
Okay, and he took a copy of it?
He took one copy and gave me this copy.
Okay, and you say you haven't heard back from anybody?
Well, actually, you know, it happened last Thursday. I still haven't heard back from anybody.
And then the other piece is, while you did speak to the supervisor, one thing we always advise in the committee, did you contact customer service?
He didn't advise me to contact customer service, but he did give me his card, and the transit policeman gave me his card.
Okay, and that's fair, but I would always say, and I know that you didn't contact my office, so that's the other thing. We always say to the committee, and we also encourage the committee members to, as you're doing your advocacy in the community, educating people on how to use the service and when there are problems, customer service, and then you follow up with the 1100 number. That way, you know, like you said, this was last Thursday, so we haven't lost a lot of time, but you call our office immediately, and David or myself or another member of the staff follows up on concerns. While this may not necessarily, some people can say this may or may not necessarily be specifically related because of a disability, where this could have happened to me just as well as to you, the fact that there were some challenges there, we should hear about.
Yeah,
that's for the committee.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's why I don't want this to be about me.
Right.
But that's why I prefaced it like this. We didn't even need to hear the story. But it brought out some questions with respect to is there some retraining required or maybe confirmation of procedure.
I'll take a copy of your report to save the time, because I did open this up so we can go over a minute, but to save the time, we're going to take a copy of your report, and David will also do an ADAP version of an investigation, and just to see where are we with this, with the space, I mean, with the supervisor, with police, and whomever. So we'll follow up with you.
Okay, and it's not about me.
I'm feeling
fine.
Yes.
But there are some people who might not be as able to deal with the whole scenario of situations, and that's my particular concern, particularly in with the bus rail aspect.
We got
you. Thank you. Not about me, but about, yeah.
We got you.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry for your, I appreciate your indulgence. Thank you.
Steve, this is Denise Rush. I had an incident on Friday, and I was really frustrated. But I called Pete, and she gave me the number to the complaint line immediately. So you really need to call the complaint line when you have a problem. Get a case number.
Yes, we agree.
Mm-hmm. And make sure you tell them it's an ADA complaint. Stress that so that it comes through to me the next day.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions on the other structure? Okay, I'd like to stop. Move on. Perfect. Move on. So thank you
for
having
quicker
time,
David.
I'm not sure, Jim,
who is it?
Who
needs
to be here?
For the interest of time, because I do see, I'm sorry, Donald Gomes, yes.
He's from Rail Transportation, and you're here to speak about communication with people with deaf and hard of hearing. In other words, this is the Breanne Berger subject matter of record. So this is the update, and then you wanted an update during the AAC meeting. That's what we were talking about, but this was the update because of the scheduling and everything else. So this is the update, and this is the plan of action, I presume. But Mr. Gomez, welcome to the AAC, and thank you for having us.
Thank you. Since our last meeting, hello everyone. We have been working diligently trying to create these order these signs. So we have ordered some magnetic signs that will be issued out to the station managers and they can handwrite. Or we're trying to provide pre-printed messages so that you can be legible. But we do have the magnetic whiteboards. They'll be coming in tomorrow, and we'll have them ready for the inauguration. So that was the plan. We're hoping that we get the magnetic part in by then. If not, then we'll just let it be handwritten until then. But that's our plan, to have magnetic placements on there to say what type of incident it is. And that way, it's our message is consistent and it's readable. Okay, so we're also working on this metro around town. I don't know if any of you have seen it before, but it is a tear-off that has symbols on it that allows our station manager, head directions also, to if you want to know how to get to a certain place, he can write it on a piece of paper. Or he can circle the direction in which you would like to go for those who to need those that type of medium. And we're going to combine the two. We're going to still have the whiteboard, but we also want to put those pre-printed messages on that particular other document that I just mentioned there, Metro Around Town, so that all you have to do is circle the type of message instead, okay? So, that being said, I'm sure you got questions, so.
Yeah, I forgot I did fire this question. If the committee did not hire a question. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate the update. You need my microphone. Okay. Where will you be to contribute the whiteboard? Will we get all peanuts within the way of the sub only? At this point, what is the plan? Who will be in charge of those
The station manager will have, each station manager will have a whiteboard at every mezzanine. So when incidents occur or situations occur, you can approach the station manager and they will have written the information down. We're working on the procedures now. But the process is that when incidents occur, they go to the whiteboard, put the information on the whiteboard, and have it available for anyone who needs that message visibly, okay? That's the approach we're gonna take with that. We also take any other suggestions, that's why I'm here as well. But our primary purpose is to provide that information for our customer to make good decisions.
Other station managers will be aware of, will they be informed that they need to consider the platform, not just for the magazine, but also the platform, because that's where most of the communication needs occur more often on the platform. When a customer is already using a witness system, then they're not getting to mention that it's already been made, possibly already on the TV, or on the kiosk, the magazine, but ideally, if the TVs are already updated, when you're already in the system, you may not be seeing that message. So the station managers, would they be responsible to have an employee come down and relay the emergency message on the platform?
We're working on that as, you know, as we talk about that now. There, as part of the inauguration plan, we're trying to see how many people we can put on that platform that we can get the message to someone. Now keep in mind that when you have crowds, it's trying to get a consistent message, both at the mezzanine level and the platform, so they stay the same. So that's one of the things we're trying to work on to do that. I can't guarantee that it'll be there at every platform, but that's what we're working on for some of the base stations to put in operation.
Do you have a training to plan for how to train all the patient managers or employees before an operation? Or, I mean, what's the plan? What does that mean with it?
Well, that's why we're working on the procedures and process now, so that when the boards come in, because what I'm doing pretty much the same thing for the Metro Access cards. So I go out and I talk to and I brief the supervisor for that division, and that supervisor makes sure that all the station managers in their sector, they get them to sign documents to say they've had that briefing and they understand. So that's the approach we're taking with all the training that takes place on short terms, okay? These are short terms. Otherwise, we send them back to a training facility, but this is short term. So we have the supervisor go out and do it, and I'm going to every division once we get the procedure process in place.
I'm
going to
turn it over to the committee if anybody has a question before we do the event. Well, with that, I also wanted to bring up, I don't know if you were here earlier, but we were just talking with the open about a few months ago where a deaf consumer was on the rail and the train wasn't in that spot apparently, and it didn't want the intercept to light, or the operator didn't walk through the train to tell people to get off. So he was stuck on the train and kept going all the way to the rail yard because he didn't know that was the last stop. And so I'm wondering if there's any way to follow up with all the employees to make sure that they're able to somehow, or I guess the policy needs to be worked out to set up a kind of standard to have to alert customers who are still on the train that may have hearing issue, hearing problem, hearing what's going on, maybe not know by flashing the light on the train and having an employee walk through saying this is the last stop before they get
stopped
going on
the way. Well, I was sitting there listening, and I know that we're currently working on that particular issue. We have been notified that that is a major problem. So what we've been doing is setting up all kinds of situations just a few situations so that whenever there's a train going to the end of the line, the operator was walked through the train before that train goes out of service. And it's going to be required by the supervisor to assure that fact takes place. Now, when they go out of service in line, then we'll have another person available to do that. But the operator is going to be the primary person to walk through that train before it moves. Now, it may cause a few scheduling hiccups, but we understand the safety is involved in this. Yeah, we got the message, so, and we're working on it, so you should see some changes out there very shortly, because I know they put out a personnel notice about that same situation that was last week, so we're working trying to make that change. I took a lot of notes when you were talking about other issues as well. So.
Great, wonderful, I appreciate that. So, thank you, committee. Anyone else have any questions for the mayor? So, I'm going to see if you go around to get around town paper already fit order, but you certainly now. There's no time for any lack with you?
No, we still, it's going to like a second version already, so we'll bring that back to you. Because what I wanted to do was add in the same magnetic messages I want to put on the whiteboard, I had them already blocked in on the Metro Around Town, so that it can be circled. And it's a lot simpler. Yes, sir. Oh, I can't answer for you, sir.
Nice.
Thank you. my question is more systematic. Prior to having that go live, is it possible to have the committee bring that information to us so that we can comment on it before having it go live?
which subject going by?
You were talking about the getting around town
right.
a few minutes ago.
Right.
And you were saying that you're in the second phase of doing that?
So second version, right.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, before, when you guys are finalized, is there any way that the group could take a look at it, provide comments before it goes live? It may help in terms of ensuring that it has the highest level of access.
Wouldn't want any other way, sir.
Charlie?
Thank you. I just have to say, as a person with a sensory disability, I have a lot of communication and empathy with persons who are deaf and hard of hearing. And I just want to compliment you on your sensitivity to the issues presented, and hopefully we'll never have an incident where a deaf person will ever end up in a really jail where they are simply because someone is deaf or awkward to deaf hearing.
Yeah, you're a customer, so we hear you. And I work on, I'm the superintendent of Station Ivan and everything that related to the facility, so I normally get these things first. So, plus I had the CRM that comes in, and anything the customer says, positive, negative, or the rail people, I know my group would normally have to be the one to take care of that. And now Jim is here.
Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate your presence. We understand you're very busy. Thank you for taking the time to talk. And we were just talking about the new communication model that was to be implemented, to be disseminated throughout the system. So if everyone wanted to add it in there, you might add about the whiteboard or the get around town paper.
But I already explained to them that we ordered the whiteboards. Okay. We're still working on it and get around town.
Okay. I apologize first of all for being late. Second of all, I didn't understand your whole question, so if you repeat it.
No, I think it's one of you and me started early, but you're not late. You're actually right on time. I'm just wanting to know if you wanted to add anything to this discussion. Ricky Moment was basically giving us the background of what's happening. I wanted to know if you wanted to add anything.
I can't add anything. I don't know what everything was said, so excuse me if I repeat some of it. That's all right. We're got this project of improving our communication with our customers. We're trying to roll out, and we're trying to get as much of it out there as we can for inauguration. So Donald was there, able to move ahead with getting whiteboards into our station managers. They were delivered today and tomorrow, so we're distributing them this week and next week. We've written procedures for all of the station managers about what they're supposed to do with them. Supervisors will visit them and say, this is what they're for, this is what we expect you to do them, so that we can roll something and have it in their hands before inauguration. There are some other things that we wanted to do, including the rip-off pad and doing all that, but we're unable to finish that by inauguration. We're still working on it, but we did move this ahead sooner because we were able to do that. If I repeat anything, I'm sorry.
That's excellent information. Thank you. I think the committee was sharing some concerns before you came in about reviewing the get around town care off paper.
Right.
If it's possible that we get to be involved in the review process before they become law.
Absolutely.
And also, I have some questions about the whiteboard marker. Do you have a plan for how to keep the marker with the whiteboard? Because I do anticipate that might be a job of the station managers if they're walking around the whiteboard and they lose the marker and then cross it out of them. I mean, as a mother of two kids, I know how it is. We have too many things going on in your hands. So I can imagine if the toy for your customer service with a lot of people all the time, we might lose markers. If you might have an idea of how to keep those two items together. That's really the whole affects it.
Okay. So it's a two-part answer. I wanted to make sure the first part was done. We're trying to find a way to make sure that they stay together secure. Whether that's tied together or mounted on one or the other, we're doing that. The other part of it, a longer-term answer to that, is that our supervisors, as part of their responsibility, is to go to the stations and make sure that the station managers have the equipment they're supposed to have. And so then, on a regular basis, when they walk in, they'll say, where is it, and show it to them. In addition to that, our chief operating officer has created a management team that does the same thing. Each of our managers has adopted a station, and so I have to go to my station at least twice a month, and walk through with the station manager that is there at the time of show up and go, what's on your list? What do you have? What do you not have? What's broken? Has it been reported? Has it been fixed? And we'll make sure that this is part of that, so that from the management level all the way down to the station manager, we're ensuring that it's there. In the long run, there may be a better way to secure the marker to the tablet, but we'll do that initially. We'll make sure that it works, and then maybe if it doesn't work well enough, we'll find a better solution.
Thank you. I think it's also important that there be effective training with all the employees to make sure that they're fully aware of the resources that are available to not to communicate with customers. So I think that's the key behind making sure that it's really successful. Making sure all the employees really understand and they have the resources to communicate on a general daily basis and during emergencies.
I agree, the training is going to be the key. Getting everybody completely trained between now and a week from Friday is going to be hard, difficult, but it will. We'll get it out, we'll get it reinforced. The training program for station managers will include this. The refresher training that we're developing for them will include this. It's not going to be perfect in the beginning, but we're going to work on it, continue to make it better.
Hi, this is Barbara Mildo from the National Capital Citizens of Low Vision, and I would like to point out that people who are hearing impaired may also be visually impaired. So if when you're working on the marker issue, if you could kindly use a marker that's a little bit thicker. And also, I'm wondering about the eraser, because eventually you're going to be writing so much that you're going to need to erase some of it and start over, perhaps, or if someone has partial sight, you're going to need to write larger. So what are your plans for that? I mean, I've been hearing the word tablet and also whiteboard. Do you clarify if it actually is paper or a board? Thank you.
Okay, it is a whiteboard, and we are ordered a magnetic version, so like I said, in the future we can have pre-printed messages that we place, so that might eliminate some of your concern about it being thick enough or broad enough on the marker. But we will, until that happens, we will assure that we use markers that will be helpful to you.
Okay.
Sorry, just one more question. Would this pre-printed material be in large print, let's say 16 font, 18 font, and bold? That would be greatly appreciated because, as you know, some of the areas within the rail stations are darker than others, and we are working on that, of course. But when you have dimmer areas, it reduces the acuity of just a person who's 20/20, so especially in emergency situations, it'd be super, super helpful. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
You might not have heard the answer, but we'll make it as large as we can.
Yes.
See, yeah,
I was going to, I have a question with respect to lighting. I was going to hold off, but let me just ask. And it's simplistic. I this is just not my field. I see in Judiciary Square an extremely well-lighted station. It's easy from the train itself through the windows to see the name of the station, and the station itself seems very well lit. The design of the station seems to be one that is prevalent, or at least, you know, used throughout the system. And am I misunderstanding, or is it more complex than it seems to just take that lighting and move it fairly efficiently to many of the other stations with similar characteristics in the system?
Improving the lighting in our stations is never simplistic. I wish it was. But as part of the GM's plan for this coming year, to get back to good, there's a lighting program that goes with that, and we are ramping up how we get the lamping to where we want it to be. Now, again, it's not going to happen overnight, but and I'm not the one to give you the details, but we've got a series of, these are the stations that are going to be improved throughout this calendar year, maybe a three-year program that does all that. And so that's coming back out, and as part of that, we're going to do types of lighting with not the only for us bulbs, but the high-intensity bulbs or those types of things that are easier for maintenance as well as easier to see. So it gets a little bit complicated in what happens at the top of the mezzanine versus along the sides or the lights in the middle of the track. All of that is part of the program that they're working on.
Anybody else have any questions for Mr. Hughes? It's a very difficult matter. Either the communication to the documentary customer or the live data point.
Thank you. I'd love to see what stations are going to be worked on for the remainder of this year. And FY, we have 18 next year.
I may suggest, from an operations point of view, you talk to the engineering department to come and present the overall plan to you. I don't know whether it's this committee or whatever, but we can make that happen.
Okay. Do you have a name we can contact?
I'll get you an idea.
You'll come through me. You'll contact me.
We'll go through you. It's through Andy's office, but I'm the wonder.
Casey Jones.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. That'd be great. Thank you.
Are there any other questions regarding communication that we want to turn to? Well, I want to thank you both so much for taking the initiative and going with that. I'm hearing about it. We're very excited to be working together to make it happen. And I think that the customers, when they see the whiteboard and the other kinds of communication modes, I think we'll benefit anyone, not just that we're trying to go off of the viewing population that you're talking about. So I'm very excited to see how this goes.
We're looking forward to it also.
Thank you. I think you will see a wrap of the Get Around Town paper in the next 5 minutes, maybe in the next week, if I'm really, is that true too?
Yeah, I'll send it to Dr.
Okay.
She'll get it to you.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So I think the next thing I'm going to show you, Mr. Blasker is here for the Metro Rail Station Science Program. And I guess you have an update for us?
Yes, I have some general information about what we're doing last month. Thank you all for having me back. It's good to be here. Nice and warm. Okay, so last time we talked about some signage issues or updates that were coming, and I didn't have the stuff in front of me to kind of show how we're making improvements. I just put it on the sheet. We were making improvements, but I can back it up with some data today. So I want to address some of the issues. I'm just looking at the notes from last time. One of the early comments last time, or questions, I say, involve more tactiles or improvement of the tactile signage. Right now we're doing a huge rush to go through and find as many problems with tactiles tactile signage as possible right now. One, because we want to do it. Two, we have to prepare for the inauguration. We know we're going to have a large influx of people coming into our system, and we definitely don't want to not be representing ourselves as one team to provide that information to customers who need that information. Some of the stations that are being really attacked viciously, sorry, that doesn't sound good, but aggressively, have been Gallery Place, Ronald Reagan National Airport, where else was there? I think Pearson. Several other core stations that just haven't jogged my memory right now, but Smithsonian, yes, thank you. We are really trying to take a really aggressive approach at that, and we're going to continue that approach because as I go through the system, I'll take a note. We have a team in ADA Quality Assurance, they're taking notes, and we actually have our maintenance crew who are actually taking notes. And as people are defining things, they're reporting to me and coming in quite fast. So it's been really busy the past 5 days for me, so that's a good thing. Let's see, another thing is, last time we talked about enhancing directional signage for elevators as well as wall signage. And that's the bulk of what I brought today is to discuss how we're making improvements for the wayfinding in our system. We have a new standard that has come out in the past 6 months that really addresses accessibility symbols, larger fonts, more concise fonts, less confusing fonts. Less information sometimes is more, so we're taking advantage of that as well as to improve intuition as far as how to navigate through our system. Some stations right now, you'll see, you might go to a station like, for instance, like Anacostia, and you'll see one type of station name sign on the vault wall. Then you'll get to Gallery Place and you'll see one that's four times as big. And then you'll go to the Metro Center and you'll see one that's kind of middle of the road. So one of the biggest problems we've had when I came on board is that there's an inconsistency in signage. Not only in just the size of the sign, but the size of the fonts on the signs, what information is on the signs. So what we've done is we've tried to basically rein in the amount of real estate needed to provide the information we want to provide as effectively as possible. So we've gone away from the 2 foot tall sign or the 9 inch tall sign when we came to an 18 inch tall sign by 144 inches, roughly 12 feet. And on those signs, this is for the station names. As you're pulling into a station, you see the station name on this large sign. The font on the station name, with the station name, is going to be approximately 6 inch tall font. And it will also be equipped with accessibility symbols for elevators and escalators as well as directional arrows. So if I come onto a platform and I get off the train and I see the sign, it's going to either point to the left or to the right, or potentially in both directions if we have elevators in each direction. In addition to that information, we'll also have what I like to call a station exit wayfinding. So you'll have station name, as well as an additional information that would say, for instance, I Street to the left, G Street to the right. So it'll kind of give a little bit more information. We have some of that kind of signage, but I think some of it's lacking in some places. And also, there's not consistency. One might have a format where there's this light brown font, maybe light brown backing, and others have all brown backing. So we're bringing all back into what we like to call a metro brown, which is a darker brown, which offers a higher contrast with the white letter. That should really improve the visual, especially as Barbara was saying, our dark stations. So that's going to help in that aspect. Also, what's new, aside from just trying to rein in the size of the signs and make them all consistent, we're rolling out a new station ahead list. These station ahead lists, some of you may have noticed them. There are these snaking type lines that say, you know, the different stations as you go along, and they intertwine, kind of like a little string of spaghetti or something. But what we've done is actually streamlined those. We've actually cleaned that up a lot design-wise, and it's a little bit easier to basically get your information more immediate. By doing that, we've also made sure that we've kept in compliance that there's a 5/8 inch font for that particular viewing distance. Now, we're going to jump ahead a little bit into the 22nd century. But no, we're actually, some stations now we have these, on the center platform stations, we have station ahead list that are oriented in a vertical format. Those are not necessarily compliant or desirable by our staff and our authority right now. So we're going to take the initiative to get rid of those and implement digitally displayed station ahead lists. Now, these station ahead lists, digital station ahead lists, will actually be implemented on the pylons that you typically see vertical station ahead lists. Now, they will have one of the driving factors why we're doing the digital, I'll back up just a moment. One of the reasons why we're doing this digital station ahead list is because in order to have a station ahead list on the vault wall across the tracks when you stand on the center platform, the font will have to be 2 inches tall for it to be within compliance. Now, that would make for a really, really large sign, over 32 feet long, or wide, should I say, on the vault wall. That's just not acceptable. So, after some brainstorming, we came up with this digital format, which allows us to display this station ahead list in compliance as far as font size, and also be housed on a device that doesn't take up a ton of real estate on the platform. So in this digital display, you'll have a scrolling station ahead list that can also be manipulated by touch. So it'll scroll on its own at a nice pace that we'll determine and meet some compliance standards. But also, if you wanted to find out information, you can actually touch the screen and roll it back and forth. Now, that's great, but what about those who can't see it? Well, we're going to try to work as best as possible to make sure there is an audio feature as well, push buttons. That way, we can, if you can't see it, you can push a button and it'll dictate to you what's going on the screen. So these are just some of the key things that we're trying to roll out to make things make life a little bit easier in our system when it comes to some of the platform signage and wayfinding. Let's see here. Now, we've also developed a strategy because we get a lot of complaints in that, well, your platforms don't give me enough information for trying to find the exits. There's not enough exit signage. Well, I've addressed that too. I've come up with a systematic sequencing that's going to allow you, if you start off in the center of the platform, I want you to have either direction you walk in, if there's a multiple exit state platform, in either direction you walk in, I want you to be able to encounter two instances of wayfinding as you walk to the escalators or escalators. Right now, you might find one. Some, you won't find any. That's unfortunate. There always is wayfinding there, but it's not the most strategic. Sometimes you have to walk to the mezzanine before you find information that might save you a lot of time and trouble of having to go back down that square and cross the other side of the platform and go where you're trying to go. So we're going to enhance that quite a bit by including more station exit information on the vault walls, as well as station names, as well as station ahead list. So those are upgrades that we're rolling out. Right now, we are developing concepts with the contractor. We're doing a whole lot of the background homework stuff as far as like how much is it going to cost, all that boring stuff. It's trying, but it's going well. We're actually on time and on target to achieve our absolute deadline of 2020. That's when we are planning to open our Silver Line Phase 2, as well as have a whole new house, all new signage as far as wayfinding in our system, and address all deficiencies as far as what's compliant and what's not. So we're aggressively attacking what we can right now. We're putting in place all the pieces that we need to do the more budget-unfriendly stuff as possible, get that ball rolling, and make sure we can provide our customers with the type of wayfinding and signage and information that they need to navigate successfully through our system. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you so much for your information pack for today's turn. It seems like you're really involved with a number of updates, and I think everybody should join the information. So I think I'm really happy to hand off Philip. Anybody else? Sorry, we'll talk to Larry.
questions. So you mentioned before the Metro Ahead boards. Can you just give me a brief description of what information that will have on it?
Oh, what's that again?
The Metro Ahead?
The Station Ahead. The Station Ahead is in essence. Let's just say I'm starting out at Branch Avenue and I'm going to navigate downtown. If you're at Branch Avenue, there will be signage. Since Branch Avenue is a center platform station, there will be one of these new fancy digital ones. So along that, what you would see it would say you are basically at Branch Avenue. Next station, Suitland. Next station, Narrow. Next station, Suitland. So it'll scroll. It's a visual diagram, which basically starts at one point. As it scrolls along, it gets all the way down the line to the other end of the line.
Okay, I understand.
And there will be audio as well. If you push a button, it will be the audio to describe that to you.
The reason why I brought it up is because I wanted to get a general idea of how it would work. In previous capacities, I've actually worked with a transit agency implementing a similar board for real-time arrivals. You just press a button, or you double press it to go backwards or something like that, and it gives you that information. So
the same principle. We're just trying to catch up to what you've already seen.
The second question is, you mentioned on the platform, and one of my big things when you were here before is when you talk about wayfinding, there's a going in perspective and going up out perspective. And I think in many respects, Metro does one part of it well, tactically, but not the other part, which is I can tell that the escalators to the blue, orange, silver line, I can tell where those escalators are, but when you're down in it on the blue and silver line platform, you can't know. There's no tactile signage that says go upstairs to reach the 12,000 exit or red line.
That is a very, very good point, and I couldn't agree with you more. It seems like we're on one side of that. Like we just want you to come in, but we don't care how you get out. Well, I think I need to go take a note of that because that is brilliant. I think we might sometimes be a little narrow-minded on our thinking. We want to give you information to navigate in our system, but we should also do a better job of helping you get out of the system as well.
Yeah, you're talking to a person. When I worked for the MBTA, we kind of did one year, and I think the MBTA is still working on it. The final question is just a sidebar. What contractor are you asking?
I don't know if I can say. Okay, that's fine. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so.
No, that's fine. Yeah. Only because I know that.
If you know a name, I can say no.
Something, Chris Edwards?
No.
Okay, that's fine. But anyway, nonetheless, it sounds like you guys have many aspects of the wayfinding process thought out, and one of the more trickier aspects has always been the tactile signage, because you have to convey that information in such a way that when a person's blind experiences it, the information is clear and concise. So I'll kind of ask you, you have a good resource in the advisory committee here, and I would almost encourage you, again, in the interest of joint actions, don't hesitate to bring your designs as you get the various stages of completion to us. And, even if you have mock-ups, it may be a good opportunity to get some real-time feedback on what are some of the positives or what are some of the things that can be improved.
I appreciate the offer. Thank you. I'm definitely going to make an effort to do that.
Tell me a more detailed description of what you're going to protect out Chinese when you come out on the builder's pile.
Yes, yes.
Will it be ready letters and foils?
Yes. Yes, it's typically found on the different formats of pylons that we have. We have large ones, small ones. At most decision points, there's typically a pylon. If there's not a pylon, we kind of make a or even near the wall, if it's next to an elevator, some type of real estate near decision points. We try to do our best effort of putting that tactile in place to give a station information. But as Larry said, I think there should be some emphasis on street information, street exit information as well, since we're driving that for visual signage, we might want it. But we definitely should consider that as well for tactile.
I don't know if you were going to make a point about talking about it in this market. We don't have any that will
put it on the entrance.
Right, because you're talking about it in the market, and I have a walkable platform, and finally stop to look at an ad. Then up above was where the station stops were. And as I pointed out, it's 6 to 9, you know, you see it.
Right.
The most business and normal advertising.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times when you go in there and you'll see like the station name and then you'll have that station name and stuff talking about and mounted like on top of each other. That's going away. We want to have everything brought down to a eye level at mounted at 6 by 5 foot 8 inches from the platform floor. A lot of times you do have to look up and there are obstructions. So we're actually working to develop elevation views that allow us to look and see, okay, are there emergency pylons, are there columns, or things in the way that weren't really thought out very carefully in the original layouts. So we're actually addressing that right now. That's very true, and we have recognized that.
And you also have the signs on the back wall, like the gallery, like signs on the wall, you know, the gallery, the retaining wall.
Right.
And everyone wants to act as
well. Right.
There's nothing on the wall, I'm interested.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. So, yeah, the upstairs gallery place is very, very in the font, it's the same way. A lot of times we have stuff mounted too high, or so we have new standards and mounting heights as well as font sizes and stuff like that are really being considered for that. Yeah.
Which is
key,
that's
the question,
and then
folks
Charlie,
okay,
for Charlie.
This is a curiosity. Remember we had a discussion at one point about the availability of cellular access in the subway system, and the discussion eventually evolved to a point where it'd be pretty expensive to do that kind of work. And I'm wondering what the status of that is still the same, only because when we talk about wayfinding, there are some pretty nifty wayfinding applications on iPhones nowadays that could really do a lot of good, but if you can't get from one station to another with it, it wouldn't really help a lot.
I'm not up to speed exactly on what, but I have heard that there is a huge initiative to put Wi-Fi in our stations. And I think there has been a rollout of several to date. Recently, I think there were a number of them that have actually been online. And also, a little nugget in my back pocket, we're developing this thing, or I'm helping develop Metro Loop Station of the Future. It's retrofitting one of our existing stations to be equipped with a lot of nice loop nights, like what you're talking about. Like a standing kiosk that could also be linked to your cell phone that will give you arrival information, wayfinding and station information, street level information, all developed by an app that will be hosted by WMATA. So what you're talking about, it's coming, it's happening.
Could I just add on to what Charlie said? I know that the app that recently was developed, and I think there was a presentation on it 3-4 months ago here to talk about Wi-Fi in the stations. That app was deployed without being Section 508 conforming. So one of the things that, and we understand that, I commented on that a couple of times before. One of the things that we need to make sure that happens is before an application gets deployed, have to make sure that it meets the 508 requirements in there. Actually, some new requirements coming out. We'll learn more about some of those this week. And so I know that WMATA needs to hold to those technical requirements, and particularly for apps as far as iPhone, Android apps, need to be compliant so that a person with a disability can get the same information at the same time as everybody else.
I agree 100%. I can't say for sure that the app that we're talking about right now is actually the app that I was referencing when I say we're doing developing something that might have been done by a third party. We had several third parties out there who tried to develop things to help people in the city find their way around. I know it's like some...
I know the last one was developed, at least endorsed by WMATA.
Okay.
And so I know that we have to, if an app is going to be endorsed by WMATA, which I think we're getting to that point, we have to make sure that the app works. Now, we've got members of this committee who are pretty good at testing and giving feedback and stuff like that. And a lot of it just comes down to the fact, just like anything else, if you've got, you know, you can let people look at it, test it, test drive it before it goes out and gets deployed. That's great.
I think Mr. Kent would do a good job of hunting something down if he
did. We've been training Mr. Kent for a number of years.
Okay. But, you know, if it comes out that way, don't come up to me. Go ahead.
We'll let him know.
All right, thank you.
Steve Cat.
Yes,
do you have any involvement with bus electronic signs?
I support bus as I can. I'm more on the rail side, but I do help them with a lot of graphics. As far as the electronic signs, they're digital bits and platform information displays.
Yeah.
I know the last batch they had to come out. Seen at Tacoma Lightning, they were done by a company called Luminator, but I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, you know the bus stops, you know, the electronic next bus, it runs very slowly.
Okay.
And especially at stops which may have six or seven buses, such as, let's say, I and 14th Street, or maybe Farragut Square. You see people standing, mulling around, almost like in a crowd, waiting because it may take over a minute to get to your bus.
Yeah.
And I know we need to work with, you know, you need to work with the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
But even an elementary school reader can have those a little bit faster and meet the needs, perhaps, of the waiting public.
Yeah.
It's not your area, but you may want to pass it on.
I've been needed to know that that has been discussed, and I know some of it, and I don't want to represent what's going to happen, but I've heard of the options of making, as you push the button, it'll give you a certain bit of information for that bus. If you push it again, you can skip to the next information. So if you're, instead of sitting there pushing it once and waiting for your information, each time you push it, you skip ahead, to the next piece of information. It helps you get through it a little bit quicker. Also, it is linking everything with social media. So if you have a handheld device, you should be able to kind of put your phone up to the little marker thing, a little digital tattoo, and then give you all the information you would want in your hand. I know those are the two things that were discussed primarily for those. But, you know, technology and trying to keep up, I don't know if, you know, right there. It would be nice to have a technology department, but I don't think we have one.
No, your point is well taken. I don't know who you pass this to, but it runs very slowly.
Yes, I mean, I work with the bus planning folks a lot.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, they hear it all the time, and I'll tell you, they are thinking about that, but what can they do at this immediately?
Well, just turn it up a little faster.
No, I'm sorry. You know, I go radio knob.
You know, one other quick thing relating to signage. I think in the big transit stations, and in particular I'm thinking of Metro Center, and maybe Gallery Place too, but definitely Metro Center, it's difficult to discern if you're leaving one train, it's difficult to find the sign telling you where your connection train is.
I agree. When you come off of a train in Metro Center, this is one of the ones we're actually developing concepts for to be a part of our upgrade. There should be more signage on the wall as you come off. That's going to give you platform information and exit information. Not only will it tell you which street you are, it's going to tell you, okay, this way to the other side of the platform. You know, we have issues like that. A lot of times people get crossed up going over the phone as well. These are issues that we're planning to address. They've been just remnants of the old day of doing things and not really taking all that consideration. In fact, feast with them and just get out there and find your way. We're going to put more of an emphasis on trying to provide that information. I'll be honest with you, since November of last year, I hardly ever stepped foot on the metro train. So I know how it feels to be lost in the system. So I learned the hard way of getting up there, finding my way with maps in my head, drawings, and all kinds of stuff like that. So I have a unique perspective as not growing up in the subway system and trying to do it from a person who doesn't usually do it. It kind of works to my benefit. I can kind of pinpoint different efficiencies, maybe a little bit more than somebody who intuitively gets it. You know? So I'm working to develop that. And I'm definitely going to lean on you guys for some guidance, and hopefully you can improve some things around it. Thank you.
Madam Chair, it's B. Wanted to share with the committee that we have asked Bus Planning to come to talk to us about bus stops and bus stop signage, so we're scheduling them, and we hope to have them here next month, if not by March. So we're working on it. Thank you.
Just quickly, I was on the phone with Montgomery County IT this afternoon before I came here about the information associated with the new bus schedules that went into effect yesterday in Montgomery County. And the problem was that if you looked at the graph they had of where the buses were, where they're leaving from, when they'll be, wherever they're going to be at whatever time, it was completely impossible to understand from my point of view. While I'm sure that a person with greater sight would probably be able to see the whole image and coordinate it all together. So all of this is to say that I'm not sure how Metro does it, but it is important that when doing information of the nature like X amount of buses go to X amount of places and X amount of routes and these are the times that they leave and the time and that there be some way of doing that in a serial fashion so that a person can look from, you know, discreetly from leaving Silver Spring going to Twin Brook at this time, and the next line is leaving Twin Brook going to Silver Spring, whatever. So I'm just letting that information out.
When I talk to my friends over at Bus Planning, I'm trying to have a few choice words for them. No, but I'm sure when they come in, they'll be more help, more than happy to, you know, address some of the issues that I'm hearing, because I think they care just as much as I do. So great group of folks over there, and they're trying.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. We really appreciate the update. You're valuable to come over here to share with us. So thank you very much.
No problem. Glad you guys had me back. Wasn't sure if I followed last time or not, so. Alright, so no more questions or anything? Okay, so I guess I'll see you guys in a couple months, if not sooner. I might. Just stop by some time to surprise you with some information, so. Don't be surprised when you see me. See you all there.
Thank you. I think we'll move on to Dr. and Dr. Neesmith. Who directed a concern earlier today? Denise?
She was talking about public hearings. Disruption?
Yes.
Okay, so it was about public hearings. I followed up again with Metro's Office of the Secretary regarding public hearings. Currently, public hearings are scheduled for Barbara. Y'all have to talk outside because the interpreter's no work. Thank you. Sorry about that, everybody. Currently, public hearing is scheduled for Monday, January the 30th. There is no docket out yet, and so I don't have a time or any information. It is my understanding that it's all going to happen pretty fast. So at the moment, if you all remember the public hearing we did on hours, operation hours, that hearing was all day because we're only going to have one public hearing, and it will be here in the room next door, most likely. So it will be that kind of same setup. The public hearing's going to be all day, so you can come, I think, up to, I think, 10 o'clock at night, I think it was the last time that they had public hearing, so 10 to 10 p.m. So at any rate, I believe that's what it's going to be, but I won't put anything out until I actually have the docket to share, and as soon as they give that to me, I'll send it out to the committee, but the date is going to be that Monday, January the 30th.
Thank you, Dr. B. Does anyone else have anything for you, Governor? Well, I think today was a very productive meeting, and we may actually get to see about 15 minutes early. Anybody, if there's anybody, anything else? Going on? Okay, so does anybody move to close the meeting?
I think this may be the best opportunity to talk about staff management protocol, or at least to have future, maybe set a future, I don't know what we call it, board plan to talk about protocols for staff announcements and things like that.
So, Larry?
Yeah.
So, when you're talking about staff announcements, because I know we talked about this earlier, and I know in talking about staff announcements, if you're looking at the 7,000 railcar series versus the everything below it, 6,000, 5,000, 4,000, the 7,000 series, and I agree with you, I think it would be a good thing for this committee to get a technical briefing on, but I know that the way the staff announcements are set up on the 7,000 series are programmed according to the opening and closing of the doors. And so you have a certain sequence of announcements that come through. And some of them, I agree with you. Please step to the middle of the car, you know, get out of the way of the door, blah, 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 whatever it was. And which is kind of totally useless, particularly when they cut off red line train going to, and then all of a sudden the door's closing, you know, the door's going. So the 7,000 series is more technical than everything below it as far as station announcements. I think it would be a good thing for this, for the subcommittee to be briefed on it, but before we would make a recommendation as to this is what we want, we also would want to share that recommendation with Riders Advisory Committee, because they also have the same concern on their side, and they're talking about the same things we're talking about. So coordinating a recommendation to the board from both groups would be good. And I think that, so having someone from the 7,000 series to go over exactly how those announcements are made, it's going to be different than what we hear on the 6,000, 5,000, 4,000 series.
Right. So I actually, good point, Matt. I think that's a great idea. Sometimes strengthen numbers, but also considering in the event that, when I think about it, I think the 6,000, I look at stop announcements in two phases. There's manual and then there's automated. So the automated, i.e. 7,000 series rail cars and the manual, there are some commonalities in the fact that take a page out of the great Charlie Crawford's book. Earlier he was saying consistency, and I agree. I think consistency is important whenever you're doing stop announcements. And a lot of transit agencies, sometimes to a fault, they ensure that the manual announcements mirror what happens with the automated, i.e., if the operators announce manual stops announcing only major intersections, that's what the automated is going to do. I don't want that. But I do want whatever to be announced in the way in which it's announced to be as consistent as possible. So
i.e. when the train leaves, you're saying next stop Port Top. When the train is arriving at Port Top, this is Port Top, doors open on the left. When the doors open, this is Port Top, this is the red line train to J.D. Grove, for example. So I think and this is what I'm talking about when I think about policy, making sure that whatever we come out with, we have a reasonable degree of consistency in terms of what's announced manually in our meeting.
Madam Chair, this is Faith. I just wanted to share from last meeting when you mentioned this point, Larry, and adding it, we are working to get them in. So as soon as we have all the parties together, we'll definitely bring them to the committee, whether it's Bus Rail or AAC, but it's probably Bus Rail, because the AAC is pretty booked, but we'll bring them in to discuss it. So we're working on it. We encourage you. Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Scott.
I move for adjournment.
I third.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.